doing prayer on Wednesday night that we have people quit coming because of, well, all you're doing is praying. And I've heard that several times, and I think, you know, that's a shame for us to even think that way. And so I just want to look at a couple things and give you some thoughts that I've been reading on prayer. You know the verses, Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them unto the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We think we understand about prayer. We've heard about praying. Go to Ephesians 1. How important prayer is, but it's probably the least of anything that we do as Christians, which is probably the most important thing that we could do as Christians. And when you look at the Bible, and all I want to do is start just giving you a few things on Wednesday night about prayer. And try to get you to think what God thinks about prayer. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, and of course Paul's praying for the Ephesians, but verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he prays this prayer for the people, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I was thinking about this. Doctrine is good, but without revelation of doctrine, it's empty. You know, and revelation of a doctrine means it's experienced in your life. Did that make sense? In other words, you've been there and done that. You've lived it. We hear so much preaching and so much of Christianity that comes about through the knowledge of it, but they've never lived it. They've never been through it. And when you hear it and you see it, you know it's kind of empty, because all they're doing is quoting something that they've heard or that they've read, and they've never experienced it. So, but Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And in Christianity today, I think the big factor is we don't have a knowledge of him. We have all this head knowledge of him, but we have not allowed him to reveal himself to us, and the way he reveals himself to us is most of the time through trials and tribulations, and we don't want that. We get sick, we want it to stop now. Problems come, we want it to stop now. And if we just realize that this is God trying to reveal himself to us, hopefully we'd get a better attitude toward the thing. So then verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding, and so first you got to have wisdom about it, then you got to have the revelation of that thing. God's got to reveal it to you, what his will is, what his heart is about the subject, and that the eyes of your understanding. Now how do we learn something? We learn it through intuition. When he reveals it, we don't learn it from head, right? We know it's real, and then what do? Then he said, this is the way we learn, that the eyes of your understanding, now that's talking about your mental capacity. And I keep saying, you got to let God work you through something. He reveals himself to you through trials and tribulations or however he wants to, but then that don't mean that you're able to get a hold of it. You believe it. You can't explain it. Right? you through your intuition, you know it's fact, you know it's real, but your mind can't get a grasp on it. So then you start letting God work you through and give you understanding. That means your brain is able to start comprehending what God is trying to do to you. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And what happens when you're enlightened? You see it. I see the light. I know. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now see, right there, think about that. The hope of his calling. What is the will for your life? What is the will for your family? What is the will for this church? And that's what we're trying to get at. God has a will for his church. And he wants to reveal that will, his will for our church. But there's got to be qualification met. And so this is what he's talking about. That we need that it be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we don't get that. So it's talking about prayer and this thing. I just want to give you some stuff that about prayer and about people praying, just to get us thinking a little bit about. Every brother or sister who comes to a prayer meeting ought to have his prayer burden so as to pray. When we need to start thinking, we just come to church. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Right. But we don't think about that. We ought to think, well, what is Wednesday night? Wednesday night is prayer night. And so if we can start thinking through the day, and you know Satan's going to do everything in the world to try to keep you from thinking about things to pray for. And so it's that every brother or sister who comes to prayer meeting ought to have a prayer burden so as to pray. He or she should learn to touch the spirit of the entire gathering and must learn to enter into the feeling of a whole assembly. And Brother Colson touched on this, that when he saw us, he said, well, you're all scattered out. And there was a reason for that. And that's why when I want you to kind of come together, it's a unity thing. Yeah. And when we are a body, and a body is not scattered out. You know, it's compacted together. Another idea, corporate prayer does not come automatically. It has to be learned. We should learn how to sense the feeling of others. Learn how to touch what is called the prayer of the church. See, and only the Lord can do that for us. But what I'm trying to, this is from people that I believe understand church prayer. And years ago, Wednesday night was prayer night.
That's what we were taught from the beginning.
Yeah. And when you go to some of them, what we always call Southern Baptist prayer, they knew the unity and the power that was in that prayer. And it was the whole church, and they came together as a body. And this is what he's talking about. And this is where we've got to start. You've got to learn it. It's got to be. We've got to ask the Lord to cultivate this thing in us, okay? And in true prayer, we should not simply ask concerning things that pertain to our welfare, own welfare, but we should also pray for the glory of God and for heaven's rule over the earth. Now think about that. That's what prayer is about. Not what we want, but God, work your will, reveal your will to us. There's let me see here. I got a couple more. They're just ideas that I'm reading through this book about prayer, and it really, God always puts me on reading books that he wants me to start doing something about. And so though the will of God is already formed, now think about this. though the will of God is already formed, he will not perform it until his children's mind are stirred and they express his will through prayer. Well, think about that. Does God have a plan? He does. So again, though the will of God is already formed, he will not perform it until his children's mind are stirred and they express his will through prayer. In the New Testament, the name of the Lord usually represents authority, while the Holy Spirit represents power. Well, think about that, right? We come in the name of Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit represents, we come in the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? As soon as one believes in the Lord Jesus and is saved, he is commanded by God to be baptized. Why? Because we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he goes down through talking about this. Baptism is assurance that we all need to go through daily. Well, let me jump on down. The Bible presents now this is talking about authority and power. That's why I read that up there. We come in the authority of Jesus Christ, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible presents a kind of prayer that is the highest and most spiritual. Yet few people notice or offer up such utterance. Why is it? It is authoritative prayer. We know the prayer of praise, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of asking, and the prayer of intercession. But we do not know, and we know very little of the prayer of authority. In our day, where does the prayer of command have its origin? In the ascension of our Lord. Now, ascension gives us victory through a new position before the face of Satan. Now, think about this. This is not a new position before God. We obtained that position before him through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But it's a new position before our adversary. You see what this is getting at? That we pray and we have authority to pray through Jesus Christ, and we have power from the Holy Spirit that's sealed in us. And yet we ask God to do this or to do that for us, to hinder Satan or to bind Satan. And do you understand that in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost, we have that authority to stand before Satan and rebuke him? Not in our power, but in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, Satan, get thee behind me. And that's what he's talking about. We don't use that authority in our prayers. We wimply pray, oh, Jesus, help me, help me. And he's given us that power and authority to rebuke the devil. It's not in our name, in our power, but his. And we got that at salvation. We got that through the resurrection.
Right.
Strictly through the resurrection. That new life, that power. So, the significance of ascension is quite different from that of death and resurrection. While the latter is holy for the sake of redemption, the former is for warfare. Ascension makes manifest a new position for us. For in ascension, he has raised us up and made us sit with him together in high places, Ephesians chapter 2. Don't we have that? We have the power to rebuke Satan when he attacks. And instead of being so wimpy about it, he has stolen that away from us. And that comes through prayer. I mean, the authoritative prayer begins in heaven and ends on earth. Now, think about that. You're doing it. You're praying in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's from heaven down. We think we're always praying from here up, but we're seated in heavenly places, right? So, authoritative prayer begins in heaven and ends in on earth. In spiritual warfare, this kind of prayer downward is exceedingly important. What is praying downward? It is standing upon the heavenly position Christ has given us and using authority to resist all the work of Satan by commanding that whatever God has commanded must be done. The meaning of amen is not let it be so. It is but thus it shall be. That's a big difference. Amen is not let it be so. It's thus it shall be. That's authoritative. Where did authority come from? God. And we're agreeing with him. Satan commences his works by causing us, by accusing us, if he can, to lose our heavenly position. What happens when we get our eyes off of Christ? We lose our heavenly position. For heaven is the position of victory. He knows that as long as we stand in and maintain that position, we are more than conquerors, Romans 8:37, through him, right? However, if we are removed from that high position, we're defeated. Thus, all victories are gained by our standing in that heavenly triumphant position. I am seated in Christ in heavenly places. That and you pray downward to Satan. Now think about that. We are always trying to pray this way to Satan. God says, if you take my position, you are pointing downward at Satan. Get down, Satan, get away. Those who would be overcomers must learn to remove mountains. What is a mountain? It represents a difficulty that is blocking the way the Lord would have us to go. It stands in our path so that we cannot get through. What should we do? We should command to move it. Now, didn't Christ say, speak this mountain, you move it? What was he talking? This is what he was talking about. Satan puts a mountain away, or he gets a... To us, he looks like a mountain. Because from our earthly position, when we lose our heavenly perspective, that we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and instead of looking at a mountain and saying, well, that's just a molehill compared to heaven's position, we look at it from, and remember when they sent the 12 spies into Israel, or into Canaan land, and they come back, and they said, oh, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. What were they looking at? They were looking at it from their view. God says, you know, they're already conquered if you go and get them. They were giants to God. And so that's what he's talking about. So again, those who would be overcomers must learn to remove mountains. What is a mountain? It represents a difficulty that is blocking the way the Lord would have us to go. It stands in our path so that we cannot get through. What should we do? We should command it to move. To ask God to remove the mountain and to command the mountain to move are two entirely... We should command it to move. To ask God to remove the mountain and to command the mountain to move are two entirely opposite things. Yet it is very rare that we take the authority of God and speak directly to the difficulty. Because you know what? We don't understand Satan's involvement in it. It just happened. No, Romans 8:28 says nothing happens. Satan's in the middle of that thing. Instead of taking the power that's given us, we let Satan steal that power away from us. And we treat him as a mountain, we're molehills. And God says, we're to speak to that thing. We're to command that thing. Authority of prayer is not asking God directly. Authoritative prayer is not asking God directly. It is applying God's authority directly on the difficulty. you get that? Let me read again. Authoritative prayer is not asking God, God, would you do this for me? Mm-mm. It is applying, in other words, believing what God said in His Word, that we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we are more than conquerors through Him that saved us. That means just what it says. Who's it talking about conquering? Everything. Authoritative prayer is not asking God directly. It is applying God's authority directly on the difficulty. The principle of work overcomes is to bring the authority of the heavenly throne down to earth. That's where you're seated. Ordinarily, prayer is asking God to bind and loosen. But authoritative prayer is using His authority to bind and loose. So unless we are in subjection to God's authority, which means that we are faithful to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we cannot exercise authoritative prayer. Why? Because we must first be willing to subject ourselves to His authority before we can exercise the rights of His authority. That's not really that difficult or that hard when you think about it. I think that's all I've got. There's more, but